Discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Bangkok, October 2003, after the trip to Burma. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Christine, Jonathan, Sarah, Azita, Sandra, Shakti, Sukin, Betty, Num, Kom, Ivan, and Sangjan.
The saying you often hear around meditation centres about using self to get rid of the idea of self is not right. Wrong view.
When it's pointed out that there's self in the attempt, then okay, yes, but using self to get rid of self, it's not something you find in the Tipitaka, certainly. If the person then agrees, okay, yes, that must be with self, but they will say using self to get rid of self.
Also, is there any understanding of awareness? Not at all.
Because each reality or different kind of moment or mental factor has its own characteristics, so awareness, if it's arising, must have a characteristic too and can be recognized as such. Does one understand what is the characteristic of a moment of awareness? Is there an intellectual understanding of the difference between moments with awareness, moments without, so that if it does occur, it can be recognized?
So when Khun Suchin says no understanding of awareness or at that time, how do you understand awareness?
I haven't spent much time thinking about awareness.
Without awareness, can there be right understanding of a reality right now?
There's another query here, Sandra, of yours regarding planning and the moment.
Seeing cannot make any plan. So what can? What moment can? Thinking.
Awareness means there's no more planning or no more thinking. I ask because some people have that idea. They have the idea that if there is awareness, then there's no more thinking and one is silent in the moment or something like this. So actually this is quite a common idea that awareness and thinking are impossible. If there's awareness, there can't be anything.
And I think that that's tied into self. If there's no self, then certainly we can't plan anything.
What now? Self or non-self now? Now, this moment. Non-self or self? No self? At moment of planning, no self or self?
Planning is a thinking function, and thinking is a function of the self.
We did say earlier that planning is a kind of thinking. One's thinking about doing something in the future. One could think about the visible object that is appearing now. One could think about something that happened yesterday. One could think about what one is going to do tomorrow. And as I understand it, all of these are thinking. That is present moment thinking. Present moment thinking.
All those are content. All those are the content of thinking, not the act of thinking.
As far as I understand it, we don't talk about the content of thinking because the object of a moment of thinking is a concept and it's purely mind created unless there is some thinking about the immediately past visual object or sensed or object. But let's forget that for a moment. In general terms, the object of thinking is concept, and whether the concept concerns the present, the past, or the future doesn't have any bearing whatsoever on the fact that it's just thinking with concept as object.
Can you say that as long as you are living in the world of illusion, then the self exists? And when you get to be arahat, then you are more non-self.
Whether whether there's any illusion or not, there's no self. So at this moment, there's no self, regardless of whether there's an illusion. So what changes is not the reality of no self, right. But what changes is just the illusion or delusion versus the right understanding.
So we could say that the more there is developed an understanding of no self, then the closer one is to becoming enlightened. It's not enlightenment that brings the understanding of no self, it's the developed understanding of no self that leads to enlightenment. The important thing is to know what are the dhammas that have the characteristic of no self, because no self is not a conceptual thing that we apply to the present moment. No self is a characteristic of a reality of the present moment.
We are talking about wrong view and right view. Are they real?
Are they realities? We understand they are realities, but I think that most of the time there's no real recognition of them. If they do arise, we don't know the difference between one and the other at this moment.
It doesn't mean that there is only right view, but there is also wrong view. So what are those wrong views about?
I think that's a good question. I think that I'd like to hear more about this, because I understand that recognizing wrong view when it arises is what the game's all about, as it were.
When there is no self, but there is thinking that there is a self, that is wrong view.
Thinking that there is self, could you say a bit more about that?
For Paramada Dhammas, Citta, Cetasika, Rupa and Nibbana. So what is wrong view?
Could we say whenever we take the world for being other than Citta, Cetasika, Rupa
wrong
and Nibbana?
Wrong view is Akusala Cetasika.
Right.
Akusala Cetasika. Yeah, it's real. Whenever it arises, it has wrong view, wrong understanding of reality.
But Ajahn, but I'm not disagreeing with you.
But
I'd just like to know some more. Yeah. Now, there's kusala and akusala at the present moment.
Not at the same time.
Not at the same time, but arising intermingled. If when there's kusala, there's no wrong view, when there's akusala,
when wrong view arises,
well,
because it's an akusala cetasika.
Right. So if we were flipping between kusala with no wrong view and akusala with wrong view, that should be more apparent. I'm having difficulty understanding what moments in the day are with wrong view, because I don't see a big distinction between now when I'm sitting here, I'm still seeing people and things, and then...
With or without wrong view?
That's what I don't know. I mean, I don't mind if it's wrong
because
view or if it's not,
arahata,
but I'd like to know.
Also know who's who.
Yeah, the arahant also knows who's who. So the rest of the day is more or less like this too.
With
not aware
or without?
Well, if this is without wrong view, then the rest of the day is without wrong view too, because there are no times
that I can...
Only
whenever it arises.
Yeah, but surely it arises frequently.
At that moment it's wrong view.
Then why don't I know?
When it arises about views.
Views.
Self.
Yeah.
Permanent. It's
that
permanent.
Means, well, now I'm taking things for being permanent in the sense of, I mean, not forever and ever, but certainly there's no momentary existence apparent. So
yeah,
I guess there's some idea of self.
This is thinking about taking things as permanent. It doesn't mean that every time you look and hear that there's taking things as permanent, but if you say that, it's just thinking that that's what's happened. It's different from moments of wrong views.
Well, I can't think of times when I take things as more permanent than they are at the moment. Well, it's just ordinary idea of relative permanence.
Ordinary, I think that there is no wrong view when there is just attachment to things.
Right.
When we talk about views, we can see whether it's wrong or right view.
Right. It's a matter of having a view. I suppose this can be subtle or strong too, can't it? Wrong view. It can come in degrees.
Satyatiti is the lightest one.
Is the
lightest.
Lightest.
Very weak, I mean. Not yes. as strong as the other.
Right. But even for Satyatiti, there must be weak and strong levels. Yes.
Can you have the wrong view but make right effort?
So we have to know what right effort is.
What is right effort?
On what level? When it arises with kusala, it cannot be wrong, but it's not necessary to be the Eightfold Path.
So if you're in the self that is not the self.
Wrong view.
Wrong view.
So effort there is wrong. It accompanies citta, which has such view.
Oh, and then you said, then you're not on the path.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay. Okay.
On the right path.
I'm interested actually what Khunsu Chin was saying about self-view being the lightest. Maybe this implies other kind of views that are based on self-view are even more pervasive. Is there anything more you can say about self-view as the lightest?
We know about many nomination or religion. Shall we talk whether those are wrong view or we know or understand that when it's not right understanding of reality, it must be wrong, depending on how strong it is. Like the creator or healing is not akusala kamma and things on. See, those are wrong view. We don't have to say this religion is wrong or that religion is wrong. But by not understanding reality as it is, that is a kind of wrong view when there is other view about it. Khun Sukhin, you don't want to mention either too about what religion is wrong, I think. But we know when it's not according to realities, the other teachings about people and things, creator or God and so on, it's not right.
Thank you, Ajahn. I've noticed some moments in daily life where there is wrong view of that kind. For example, if I do X, then Y will happen. When there's no link, say superstition, let's say if I walk under a ladder, it'll bring bad luck. Not quite like that, but there are other times in a day when I think if I don't do X, then Y will happen or something, and there's no direct cause and result. So that would be an example of wrong view because there's no understanding of Kamma and Vipaka at those moments.
Also have view about it, but different views, not right view.
Not right view, yeah. I don't have any difficulty with that. It's the wrong view of self that I do find is not clear.
It's exactly the same, but the content is different.
And what about misunderstanding between Vipaka and Kamma?
Misunderstanding or wrong view?
Wrong view.
Wrong view is wrong view.
Mistaking one for the other.
But you still know that it's not you? There can be misunderstanding but not wrong view.
No, I'm talking about theoretically thinking that mental suffering is a result. That would be wrong view.
Not quite right understanding, but that person can study and can consider.
So it's not wrong view?
Because it's not about view. It's only the understanding or misunderstanding. Even the arahatas in the old days, when they had different view, opinion, they went to see Buddha to ask him whether whose view was right. Not whose view, but the understanding. Yeah.
Another question on the wrong view and misunderstanding. At work, if you use the word quiet, like saying, oh, today's a quiet day at work, everyone will jump and say, oh, don't say that word, because there's this idea that if you mention the word quiet, it's suddenly going to get really busy, I think. And I'm just wondering, is this a wrong view or just a misunderstanding, or is it just...
It's just joking. No one really has the idea that by saying this is a quiet day that...
It might be a health department thing, Sarah. We actually believe it.
Ajahn, any comment on the full moons?
Any moon.
The moon is still the same. How it's viewed, whether it's a waxing or a waning moon or whatever it is, the same moon. And it's all a concept. What difference does it make whether the moon is full or not full?
I think this is another case of cause and effect. A lot of people say, well, the Buddha attained enlightenment while sitting cross-legged under the tree. And in fact, he just prior to that had attained all the jhanas. So isn't this the way to develop enlightenment?
Happened that way, what's wrong?
If it happened that way by being sitting cross-legged or on the moon day, but if we wait for the moon day or wait till we're sitting cross-legged and think that's the time to zap it, then that would be wrong practice. I have a question from Nina on the Patisambhidas. Well, it's actually from Nina and me, but it's what's happening is on our discussion list we are reading through the Visuddhimagga section on Panya, including the Tika, which Nina's translating as we go along, and we're at the part about the Patisambhidas, and so various questions arise, and of course it's very difficult. These are the four discriminations which, this is very, very highly developed wisdom which only a few arahats in the old days attained, so it's something that isn't possible today. So it's a very, very high level of wisdom, but still it's talked about in the texts. Question number one, usually we say the Patisambhadas can only be attained by some arahats, but in some of the texts it also mentions trainers and non-trainers, and all Aryans are trainers. So can we say all Aryans are trainers of Patisambhadas? Is that correct?
Before becoming a Sotapanna, lots of understanding must be developed. And it depends on the individual's accumulation, how much one can have Patisambhita by the four, maybe very well on number one and so on. But when we talk about the arahata, we know that the arahata spanya is greater than Sotapanna. And not all arahatas have the same equal panya. Some are foremost in some way, so it depends.
Can one say all Sotapannas or some Sotapannas are trainers of Patisambhidas?
Very little comparing to the very well accumulated.
So they're all trainers, but it just very little.
Comparing to Bhutujana.
And in fact, Sukhin asked a question on the list, which was, can one say in any sense at all of the words that when understanding is beginning to develop, when Satipatthana is beginning to develop, that in any sense there is a beginning of training at all, or one can only mention the word training with regard to Aryans?
Actually, I was thinking in terms, because I know the four discriminations have to deal with knowledge of realities, but I was wondering if there's a parallel process of the four kind of discriminations going on in Bhutujanas, which may manifest as discriminating right view from wrong view, and Satchayan or whatever. Is there something that the same kind of process that goes on that conventional and conceptual level?
Do we have to think about discrimination?
Sometimes it feels as if there is some discrimination going on.
Right now, when there is more understanding about this and that, is that discrimination?
No.
So, Panya grows.
So, if we say that, for example, for Sotapannas, they are trainers compared to worldlings who are nothings. So, is it like just right from the beginning for a Sotapanna, there is the beginning of developing of discriminative panya?
Otherwise, how can there be the understanding of realities as realities? Because we are so used to concept.
I didn't quite understand the word discriminations. And did I hear correctly that you said more discrimination does not lead to more understanding?
It depends on what one means by discrimination, especially Khun Sukhin's question.
And what is meant by discrimination?
I think the word discrimination is a very misleading translation, so it's better just to use Patisambhuta as the Pali word. Forget about the English word because it doesn't help at all. If you think of it as like very high knowledge or very high direct penetrative power or insight, it's more useful.
What is Patisambhuta?
What are the four, or what is Patisambhuta?
Do you want me to read what they have here for Patisambhuta? It says analytical knowledge or discrimination is of four kinds. One, the analytical knowledge of meaning, atta, is the knowledge with regard to the sense. Two, dhamma, to bear, bearer, condition, law, phenomenon, thing, is in short a name for condition, pachaya. Three, knowledge of the language concerning those things means the language corresponding to reality and the unfailing mode of expression concerning the true meaning and the law. And four, knowledge about the kinds of knowledges is that knowledge which has all knowledges as object and considers them.
Yes, I'd like to know what you think about discrimination when you use this term.
When I use the term, I'm just using a translation of Patisambhuta's. When I think of discriminations or Patisambhuta's, I'm thinking of particular kinds of very high knowledge that only some arahats in the Buddha's time or shortly afterwards had. For example, as Metti just read, the first two is particular knowledge of cause and result. So it's a direct knowledge of various causes in detail, like, for example, karma is a cause, or certain results like vipaka is a result. By directly knowing the details, that it's not possible even for other arahats to know, so special powers or special knowledges. And the third one is knowledge of language. So it's like, and this is the one that actually I have some questions about because it's very difficult to understand. So if a word like nama or vedana is spoken, immediately there's direct penetrative understanding, not just of realities, because of course this is already, but much deeper knowledge than knowledge even other arahats have. But really, it's very difficult for me to understand more. I think it's important to know when one reads about it that this is not any kind of knowledge that anyone today has, and it's nothing to do with what we might think of as discrimination, but it's very specific and very powerful, high-level knowledge.
As I remember, the first chapter of the Patisambhuta Sutta, wisdom from listening,
I think that Khun Sara was talking about the four Patisambhitamak, Dhamma Patisambhitamak, Atta Patisambhitamak, Niruti Patisambhitamak, and Patipana Patisambhitamak. So what's the first?
To get back to an earlier question you asked about what does discrimination mean? that is the term that was used in some of these texts, like in the translation that we are reading. But the word discrimination has at least two broad meanings. One of them, nowadays, discrimination means like prejudice. So it's not that meaning at all. But the other meaning of discrimination is a fine distinction. Being able to make a fine distinction between one thing and another is being able to discriminate. So to know clearly A from B is discrimination of A and B. And I think this is the meaning here, the fine distinction of the true nature or characteristic.
My understanding is mean panya, that's all about. The whole book is talking about panya and jnana, so it's...
It's about patisampitta, the four patisampitta. So what is the first one? The Dhamma patisampitta. What is it?
It says analytical knowledge of the meaning, atta. The second one, Dhamma, it says course. Here, in short, is a name for condition, paccaya. In particular, however, five things are considered as Dhamma, namely, every cause or hetu producing a result. One, the noble path. Two, the spoken word. Three, the karmically wholesome. Four, and karmically unwholesome. Five, when anyone reflects on that law, any knowledge of his falling within the category concerned with cause is the patisambhita of Dhamma. Dhamma.
It means just panya, to know it, to talk about panya, know really clearly, pinpoint, you know, down how, what exactly it knows. That pretty much about patisambhita.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes when one reads about them, for example, under discrimination of language, and it sounds like it's some concept, but the object, it must always be a reality that is known by the patisambhitas.
As we know, when enlightenment is attained, a certain amount of panya is necessary, but for each person, the extent to which panya has been developed before enlightenment is attained will vary. Someone, for example, who has made an aspiration to be a chief disciple of the Buddha, and then enlightenment is not attained until so much knowledge has been accumulated. I think this is what it's describing, that very high levels of panya, for those who have developed panya to a high degree. We talk about panya knowing the characteristic of each reality and the anicca, dukkha, anatta, but of course panya knows so much more also, because it knows things like the conditional relationship between different characteristics, and there's so many aspects of reality that panya knows as it gets developed.
Panya understands realities, right? So that it can know what is what directly, clearly. And this might be why we use the term discriminate or discrimination, but it's not anyone's own discrimination about this or that, but it's the panya which at that moment exactly or directly understand that reality as it is. So panya discriminates, or whatever you would use the term, because it really knows exactly what, right. For example, the first patisambhitta, and the book is Patisambhitta Makka, so it means the path leading to patisambhitta, the all four qualities. So the first one is that panya which exactly penetrates the nature of reality as it is, like now, is it atta patisambhitta when it's the moment of seeing? It's not the cause, but it's the result. So atta is the result which appears, which has arisen by different paccayas too. So that is the meaning of the first patisambhitta. And the second one understands the causes of all the results. and the Niruddhi Patisampitta, he knows or understands the meaning of the word which represents realities. Not just it knows how it's spelled or written, or like Visuddhimak said, it's not as shell as that, but it's the understanding of the reality. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the last one is Patipanna, Patisampitta. Wise, so wise to, yes, by having such understanding.
Would the word apprehend,
it's,
rather than discriminate?
I think it's more than that. I think apprehended and differentiated, or like what is represented by this word and not by that word, or what is the condition for this reality but not for that, apprehended in fine detail or something like that.
And is that apprehension and that knowing in fine detail, it's a very quick process.
Instantly. For example, mention feeling and there's some sort of blurry knowledge for us of what feeling is. Well, as understanding develops, it understands feeling is a reality, a nama that arises and passes away. But the knowledge has to penetrate deeper and deeper and understand that it arises by conditions, but this is understanding precisely the detailed knowledge of the conditions at that moment for feeling to arise. So deeper and deeper, penetrating more and more finely, so more and more finely discriminating between that Vedana and another Vedana. Actually, when you mentioned, for example, the first one, Atta, and you mentioned penetrate the nature of reality and a result that arises by Paccaya, of course, all arahants, wisdom, would know this, but I think it just means in far more detail or far more precisely. Can you say anything more about the difference between the knowledge of an arahat with Patisambhada, of Atta, of the result, and without Patisambhada?
Now we know that reality is appearing, right? Like visible object, or sound, or tangible object, and there is also the nama which experiences all these realities. But is that just hearing, considering, beginning to understand that it's real? Visible object is real, and the seeing is also real. But is that the moment of being aware and understand that characteristic as not self, each of them, like seeing and hearing? So even a sotapanna must have the attapatisambhida. Otherwise, how can there be such understanding of reality as Dhamma? There must be the idea of I who knows, or who is thinking about it, or who understands that there is no self now. But just understanding by hearing is not Patisambhida. So the path leading to Patisambhida is the same as the path leading to become enlightened. Understanding reality as Atta, the result, and understand also the cause of the result, so that there is no room for the wrong view of self.
Same path, but it just depends on accumulations, what kind of knowledge or how finely it is, or just like we see all the different accumulations here, regardless of any beginning understanding.
In Patisampitta it says that all enlightened Sotapatti and Sakatagami and Nakami Arahata, they all have Patisampitta, but different degrees, because the Panya of Katagami is sharper, much more than Sotapanna, and Arahata is the one who doesn't have any kilesa at all. So panya grows accordingly.
Only fully developed or realized in right. the arahant.
Right. So the panna also have patisampitta too. Okay.
So I'll try to lead on to Nina's question, which is, so the third patisambhida was niruti patisambhida, discrimination of language. And as I mentioned, often it sounds, when you're reading about it, it sounds like some concepts or stories, but one has to keep in mind it's always very highly developed understanding of realities. Question two about the four discriminations. This is Nina. Very high degrees of panya, some mundane, some lokutra, as the Tika says. We cannot even try to grasp what they are. And when reading texts, we meet many difficulties, such as niruti, language. The Atasalani says that the name of a reality, such as feeling, arises together with that reality, even intellectually hard to understand. If someone can help us to understand this a little more, it's good.
Like when we heard about Patisambhitta and the translation and the dictionary, can we really understand what it means? See, without Patisambhitta Niruti, it's impossible. So it means that when Panya has reached the degree that Panya can understand reality, so why not just the word represents it? But those who do not have such understanding of the realities, can they understand what that word means? Like Patisambhitta?
To follow up there, if understanding has been highly developed, then it may be that hearing the word can condition the understanding of the reality.
Mm-hmm. Instead of the dictionary and translation.
We hear about Magadha or Pali as being the speech of Aryans, of enlightenment, the name of the language of, in the text it mentions it is the speech of Aryans. This is from the Vibhanga commentary. It mentions that it's the speech of Aryans, and there's a reference to children and animals.
Is English man or girl?
So what does it mean? Why do they put this?
The meaning, the Pali meaning, which represents reality.
So if it's someone who doesn't speak any Pali, then can it be any language? So although it mentions
do
about Pali
we have
Pali
to
speech,
study Pali in order to become Sotapanna and use the Pali term or speak Pali?
So why does it particularly mention Pali as being the language of Aryans,
yeah,
and Pali that, being...
That's why we should consider whatever we read. The text is written in Pali, right? So when there is the understanding of reality, it means that that person understands the Pali, but not necessary to speak or... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when it mentions in the same context, I'm bringing this up because it's in the commentary and people keep mentioning it, there's reference to children and even animals speaking Pali. So what does this mean? So it just means it's like the common language or something?
We were born in this time, so we cannot know what happens in the old days and other time. That's all.
Reference to Pali as the individual essence language. So if it talks about it as the individual essence language, it's like it's of the
Do you
value.
Think that the person who has become enlightened could speak Pali?
So why does it mention it as individual essence language?
To consider.
So that's why I've considered and now I'm asking you because
it
doesn't
or
make
not.
Sense.
Because it's not about reality.
I find that the Pali term for anything is so much more broader than similar terms we can come up with in English or perhaps in Thai, that the Pali language seems to be with my limited understanding. And the Pali language seems to be more suited to the concepts that are, you know, that are taught in Buddhism.
I notice in the text a lot of the meaning of the Pali terms, the explanation of meaning is given in terms of word derivations. And these, of course, don't translate to another language. So, like Dhamma is so called because Dhareti, it bears, or something like that, for example. So I don't know if this connection is what is being referred to, whereas if we talk about reality as a translation of Dhamma, but there's no corresponding link in the English language to reality and bear.
What Kunbeti just said, I think, is for those who have understood the meaning in Pali correctly. Otherwise, by just knowing Pali, one can have misunderstanding.
I think for some of us to study Pali is because translations are so widespread on the internet, and the trigger for me was seeing two fairly well-known bhikkhus having translated a particular sutta, the same sutta, and unless it had borne the same name, I wouldn't have even known it was the same sutta. So I actually got a little bit anxious then and thought, if I wanted to learn the Dharma, I also want to be able to, if I have some doubt, I want to be able to go back to the original Pali and just figure a few words out for myself.
But who's to say that you'll understand it anyway?
Nobody, but it gives me a bit of a better chance than comparing in a foreign language. So
what makes you think that?
I just do. I just do. So
is it not the development of right understanding that makes one know what these words mean?
But if you've got two different sets of words saying that they're what the Buddha said in a particular sutta, it would help to know from the Pali which are the closest to what the Buddha said.
I don't know if this is an example, but it doesn't really relate to understanding the present moment reality, but there was some discussion recently about the Buddha's last meal and whether it was the eating of the meal that caused the illness or whether the illness occurred despite the eating of the meal. And someone with a knowledge of Pali gave an analysis which suggested that the latter was the correct translation, that despite having eaten the pork, then there was illness. As I say, that doesn't affect one's understanding of present moment reality, but in another context, it could be quite vital. For example, a lot of people would understand the Satipatthana Sutta as instructing one to follow mindfulness of breathing. But, you know, if one looks at the introductory words about a person who, having gone to the forest and blah, 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 then it's a different context altogether.
We were talking about meditation and how with avicca, you can't expect vichar to come. And I'm also thinking now about focusing on the breath. With avicca, isn't there a chance of having wrong view, as if there's always a spot here that you can always go back to?
The self who is trying, so it's right or wrong.
Yeah, and also it is contradictory to the Buddha's teachings about impermanence and anatta.
And no matter who knows Pali so well, who would really know whether what Kunjonathan just asked?
Mean one reads it as one will interpret as one would like to, or according to one's view, however one
many
reads the Pali.
Opinions about it, even those who know Pali.
Even in the Buddha's time, otherwise there would be no commentary. It's true. For a lot of people, unless they have some introduction to the Pali and knowing the mistranslation, it's very easy to follow what is said. And I think Christine's point is that by having a little bit more
knowledge of the Pali, one can begin to see that it's not correct.
Without studying Pali, can one consider?
That's what I was trying to say. Some people lead to the conclusion of wanting to understand Pali more, but still they have the confidence that one a translation or right or is wrong based on one's own experience of the moment. So that is a better understanding.
When one hears the word Dhamma and Anatta and the translation, can one understand that? Or when one hears Dhamma and Anatta and one knows more and listen more and consider more, one can understand Anatta?
I think we can all see that, as Kunsukin said, that understanding helps, but then what is the main condition for understanding? And that is the Kalyanamitta, and we're very fortunate that we've had Ajahn Suchin, the benefit of being able to study with her. And I feel that this is so much more important than a knowledge of Pali that it's actually difficult to compare, because one can say that the translations in English are quite limited, but if we have access to...
I don't think that it's only in English, even in Thai language.
Exactly. I was going to say, if we have access to the correct teaching, that is what helps us really to understand the suttas when we read them, rather than the knowledge of Pali. I don't think one should dismiss the Pali, but on the other hand, I feel that for myself, because I've never actually put much effort into Pali, and I hope I've learned something over the years. It's all with the benefit of meeting the right friend and that sort of thing.
As far as I'm concerned, I think the knowledge of Pali is also important, because after hearing the preaching or Dhamma that has been taught by Thanajan, and then considering, and then, you know, it's just like a reference to double check whether what you have contemplated, right?
The word or what? Or by the characteristic of reality?
By the characteristic of reality, and then, you know.
Do you need any word to support?
Well, to a certain extent, yes, because I'm not a Sodabana yet. So that's why I still have doubt whether I have come the right way, I have taken the right path already or not.
And what about if Buddha ate mushroom or ate pork? How do you know which one?
For that kind of thing, you know, I don't have much concern about
by
that.
Pali translation.
But
pork
I would.
Oh, mushroom.
Oh, to me, I would focus on that kind of thing. I would like to have a clear comprehension of the phenomena that after listening to your preaching, and then I, you know, kind of follow or kind of consider, and after that I would like, out of my lopa, I really want to know exactly, you know, what has been written in the original terms. Totally believe that, you know,
is reality that way?
This is my reality, that you know, I'm conscious, I have doubt, see, because I'm not a Sodabana yet.
And in Pali,
but I don't doubt. I have no doubt in you.
And doubt in Pali is vichikicca. So right. How can you understand the meaning of vichikicca if the characteristic of vichikicca does not arise?
What I mean is that I don't want to study Pali before, you know, considering the Dhamma, you know, because after hearing your preaching in Thai and some terms in Pali, okay, and after that, it inspires me, you know, to want to know Pali more.
I think that we base on Pali term as well. For example, yes. Nama, Rupa, Anatta, Sankara, these are Pali.
Yes, I know, but right now I'm very much interested in Pattaya, the 24, Pattaya, and Paticca Samut. What? Pata. So I would like to know, because it seems to me that it's very difficult to understand even in Thai.
No,
so I
matter
like
how long you read in Thai language, can it bring more clearly understanding? Even in Thai language.
No.
So what about the Pali, which is not one's own language?
Because it's very hard to understand Pattaya, you know.
You understand Pali better than Thai?
What I mean is that I don't have a strong doubt in the teachers, okay? Not I don't mean you, okay, but what I would like to know about Pattaya is I would like to know into
in
details.
Thai is very difficult.
I know.
Okay, so it is much more difficult in Pali.
If one learnt it in the original language, the meaning would be more sort of specific and fixed, because there is that term for it. And if one uses a term from one's own language, like discrimination, for example, for Patisampada, then it has all other sorts of connotations. So if one goes back to the original Pali and one learns the Patisampada and the four kinds and that sort of thing, is that what you're saying? That it reinforces the correct meaning and doesn't give an association that the language in the term in one's own language carries.
But understanding can know the limits of the language also.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything in this. I'm just saying it's an idea. It might be even, maybe there's some wrong view there.
At the same time, can we not say that we should feel very grateful to those who have passed the Tipitaka down in Pali? Because if we didn't have the Tipitaka in Pali, and if people were not translating it, we wouldn't have access to the teachings at all.
Right.
And so it's very lucky some people study Pali, otherwise we wouldn't be able to read or hear anything in English or Thai. And
but one's understanding comes from one's own considering.
For myself, what I find is, even though it's only just such a beginning level of understanding or considering, but if there is a little right considering and understanding, then whatever one reads, even if one reads about Patisambhidas or something, one's not going to have some wild idea, or one has some understanding of what must be meant in the text, because it all depends on the basis
of
understanding.
That's why when we have questions, we always consult those who know Pali. Help us.
And I remember you said that very often, that when we give advice to others, if they react with akusala, maybe also because the advice we're giving is being given perhaps with a, and yet we feel we are very well meaning in giving advice, and then that we're doing it out of a sense of desire to help the person.
I don't know whether that person would like to have advice from us or not. So before giving advice, we should consider the right thing, the right words.
If it is like Betty said, with good intentions, but it turns out that it was the wrong time, or the person doesn't want to hear the advice, still kusala chittas when it's with good intention, but we could say it's not wise or not appropriate at the time. Is that right?
It also depends on person and place and time too.
Apparently, it's just a thinking that, you know, sometimes I feel responsible for others' behavior, like when they feel bad or I did something wrong and make others feel bad, or something. I should be more consider of others more or something. And sometimes it become a kind of anxiety, it become concern. I mean, at times it can be gusala. At times it can be a kind of gusala. Also, I kind of worry. At times I know I should do good for others or something. Like, I don't know, even on the trips, on the plane, my mom sits, you know, on the other side, and she's on the other side of the plane, and talking with Sukin, I believe, and then my mom asks, why don't you take care of the others also? She sits on the plane, nobody talked to her or something. My mom kind of pressed me, kind of take care of others a little bit, and she can, you know, she tell me, I'm not that considerate, you know, left her out from the conversation or something. And I know this is my thing to do it or no or something, because my mom kind of always told me, kind of, you know, to entertain other people a little bit on the table, on the social situation or something.
The other does not take care of the other. Why don't you? Why don't you?
Sometimes I just feel, you know, like driving in Bangkok, you know, it's really, you know, a lot of people try to cross the street, the road, right? And it's impossible to stop every time you see the pedestrian on the middle of the road. I mean, in Bangkok, you cannot do that. Otherwise, you cannot drive to work because along the road, you know, 20 people cross the road. I mean, like, oh, what can I do? And sometimes I stop.
What would you do?
After what? The same. Yeah, the same, probably. I stop when I want to stop.
It came up that for some people, they think that when they start hearing about namas and rupas and realities and no self and no control, that it's like it takes the spice out of life, or what was the word? Kills conversation.
Actually, I think the thing that's been said is it almost seems to take the meaning out of life. I don't know if anybody else feels that way. And I think this is to do with getting rid of the stories. If it's just the present moment and citta and cetasika, yeah, it's. And I think it has to do with not wishing, with the self not wishing to give up. Yeah, that's it. So, well, I don't know if anybody else feels that way.
The mind just runs a course. It's just like Norm was saying that his mother would say something to him, and then he was raised to be a certain way, so he felt he has to act a certain way. And then that conflicts with what he wants to do, which is to talk to his friends. But all of that is just the mental flux that's going on. It's what he was taught as a child to be like. It was what he has input that's come in from around him. And it's really no one doing that, because if there was someone doing that, he could change it all, and he can't change it. It's just the way it is. And you think that there is someone here that can change all this, but there's no one who can change it, because it just happens. Right now, when you hear the sound right now, my voice, so quickly it goes through the process of jitta-jetasika, that it interprets that sound as being words, and those words having a meaning. Mm. Now, did you have any control on that? No, it's just something that happened. And everything's like that, even when you see things, like you see glass. Mm. The glass is just actually a color, mm-hmm. followed by a process that then says glass or thinks glass. Mm. But no one does that. It's no one who makes that happen. It just happens.
Is it right if I address you, Pante? Are you interested in nama and rupa?
Yes.
Shall we talk about nama and rupa now? I think that usually people do not really understand when we use just the term nama. If we say that seeing is nama, hearing is nama. Is there any nama now, like seeing? Just seeing is nama is enough or not?
I think for Buddhism, and when you disobey from Buddhism, when you make good come back. When you make bad come back. And when I stay in the morning in my temple and I make a meditation, and go on the top in the mountain, in the hill. And I think it's very nice for me, because before I very hot too, you know. Now I very cool. And I think this is a way for something, for do this is a meditation, is the best way for, you know, aggressive inside, you know. And, oh. And I come from Germany here to Thailand, and I very hard and found a way for through Buddhism. Never have contact to Buddhism here in Germany too. And when you stay in the temple and you forget all, you know, you forget the time, you forget something. And in the temple is very nice.
Meditation, what do you do when you say meditation?
No, I stay, I go over the top, you know, we have a little bit hill. And I stay one night and sit 1 hour, 2 hour, sometimes, okay. And this is very nice. When in the morning I wake up about 4 o'clock, and 6 o'clock I go in a bath and I make meditation too.
Is meditation the development of understanding of reality, nama and rupa?
Yes.
With thinking only or?
Sorry?
When there is thinking about it or what?
What is thinking?
Meditation is thinking about it or what?
Yes, meditation is, I think this is the best way for you found yourself, you know.
By thinking?
Yes, I thinking too.
Just thinking?
I thinking. No thinking. You put all outside, you know. You put empty.
So there is empty and I? Or what?
I think we have a problem for compensation too.
Topic that came up in our trip to Burma was Vedana, feelings, and when people read the Paticca Samuppada, the dependent origination, they have the idea that the chain can be cut at feelings. And I think was it Christine or a couple of you raised it? And then when I was chatting a little bit earlier to Sangjian, she had the same question, would also like to ask about it, but I think really her question is just about dependent origination and cutting the link at feeling. I don't know if Kunsuchin just wants to repeat what she says, but maybe I just have to say a few words first and then hope that she comes in to say more. I think that when we have this idea of being able to cut the chain at a certain point or a certain link, it shows us still an idea of self or control that can do something. And also I think that sometimes people have an idea of there being contact first and then feeling and then lobha like this, and they don't understand that feeling is a chetasika, a mental factor that arises at every moment. So there is always feeling arising at every moment. So I'm not sure how it's possible to cut at feeling. I don't know if you would like to add more to the question, or if Christine would like to add more, or if Kunsuchin would like to.
Who can cut anything? So when we hear about the word cutting or anything, we should consider whether is it possible or not. For example, what is feeling? It's a reality. Can anyone control it? It depends on conditions, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. And once it has arisen, what can anyone do about it? Because it has fallen away instantly. As soon as it arises, it falls away instantly. According to what Buddha talked about, anicchang, not permanent, dukkhang, and anatta, see? Just learn to understand them, like what is vedana or feeling. When we know that, nowhere to cut anything at all.
Maybe it's related also to what we were saying about khandhas and the reason that vedana or feelings have their own aggregate or khandha is because of the importance or the attachment to feelings. And so this is why people have the idea that this is the point where something has to be done, because feelings are so important, and we all know that there's so much attachment to feeling. But I think the idea of self creeps in all the time.
Whoever says that feeling should be cut has right or wrong understanding.
So no one can cut, but if awareness arises, is not the more sankharas, then at that point the awareness, the light of the awareness on the vedana, at that point no new sankharas are formed.
What do you mean by cutting? Or what?
I never use the word cutting,
okay.
Myself.
So whoever says cutting is wrong.
Yes, I didn't use cutting. I'm wondering, though, when sati arises at that moment, if no new sankharas, if this is the place.
At once?
Or what? In that moment, with awareness, the understanding.
When one reality arises, it cannot be changed to other characteristics.
No, but sati, at that moment of
when
sati.
When sati arises, it arises and falls away instantly.
Yes. And so then in that moment it was sati. That, of course, rises and falls away. And in that sense, no new sankharas are coming with the past.
Shakti, every moment is conditioned, yes. So there's feeling at every moment, and at every moment realities are sankhata, dhammas, they're conditioned already to arise. So because there's feeling at every moment,
maybe
why is one different from another?
Maybe we could just take the example of anger. If anger is arising, and the vedana of the anger is there, when sati arises, at that moment, the anger dissipates. It's finished, it's over, it's dead, it's gone.
For a moment.
And perhaps, again, anger could arise again.
Excuse me, if anger is still there, can sati arise?
No,
it's a different moment.
Each reality has to fall away first before the other can arise.
So at any place, it can awareness can arise. So it doesn't have to be at the feeling, because I think a lot of people think that it's even the way the aggregates are laid out, rupa, vedana, sanas, sankharas. I guess I have heard teachings on this that says that at that place of the falling away, it has to be at vedana. It's the only place. Is not correct?
That
vedana, it's the only place where it will fall away.
Where what will fall away?
Where you're not generating more sankhara.
At every moment, intention arises, which is kamapata. There is feeling. So there's feeling at every moment. So whether there is karma being produced or not being produced, there is still feeling and no self, no one to generate karma at all. So feeling will always arise. At the moment of anger, there is feeling accompanying it. At the moment of awareness, there is feeling accompanying it. At the moment of kusala karma pata, like abstaining from killing, for example, there is feeling arising with it. At the moment of killing, there's feeling arising with it.
That's very helpful to have that reminder. Thank you.
I always take citta, which has the characteristic of knowing as self all the time, although jetasika, you know, the citta can aware of certain jetasika. But for jetasika, some jetasikas, I can understand that I have to use the word that it's non-self, it's not self, but still the awareness or the citta, you know, I realize that I cannot eradicate the concept of self from awareing of this and that. But so which path should I walk or what should I do?
The path to be sotapanna. No other way.
It seems to me that I got stuck at this point, you know. I just cannot eradicate a very fine self
if
of
you can,
knowing.
If you can, then you be sotapanna then just right at that moment. It's not you who can, but it's the development of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
When understanding grows, it knows and knows better and better.
So should the characteristic of each chetasika be known?
Whatever appears to awareness.
I see. And my point is that should we have a clear comprehension of every Dhamma?
Usually the question is always, I try very hard. How can I do better or something like that? But it's not a matter of the I at all. It's a matter of beginning to understand reality as it is, as not self. Different realities have their own characteristics in the day, all day. There are different characteristics of realities appearing. Like now, visible object is a reality. It is appearing. Sound is another characteristic of reality. Anger, attachment, aversion, thinking, compassion, kindness, they are all different realities. Seeing is real. It's not I at all. It's conditioned to see, not to hear.
Seems to me that each moment of citta which arises, there's an intention to grab that moment to be stable.
You understand citta better and better? Because when we talk about citta, it seems like we understand citta correctly, very much understand it. But you say that what is the characteristic of citta? It is mental phenomena. It experiences an object whenever it arises. Think of the moment of birth consciousness in the womb, the first moment of life. Is it so dark because the world does not appear? No sound, no smell, no sight, even thinking, no thinking then. Just the first moment of life is so dark. And even in darkness like this, that is the characteristic of citta, because it can experience an object. But citta itself is as dark as that. When there is the realization of citta, one can see that it has nothing to do with rupa at all, quite different from rupa. Because when we say just nama and rupa are different, because rupa cannot experience anything at all, and nama is the reality which experiences an object all the time. Whenever it arises, it cannot not experience anything. But now, that characteristic of nama are the same as the moment of birth moment.
Same
characteristic, as dark, as dark, all jit and jetasika. Yeah. Are as dark as that moment of birth consciousness.
Talk, because you've mentioned this several times about the first citta in life in the womb, and because it's easy to understand that that is dark, but we don't appreciate that it's as dark as that even at this moment.
In order to understand it, no matter at the first moment or later moments, up to the moment of death, citta is the same. Just arise and experience the object. It's the realization of citta. It must be very dark, because there is nothing but the experiencing in darkness. Even right now, it experiences visible object, but citta itself is dark. It is like this, always like this, because that is the characteristic of nama. Can there be clinging with self, even there is no thinking, without thinking?
The citta accompanied by attachment and ditti, wrong view, even when there is no moment of thinking so quickly.
So I could possibly say that I live my life with clinging to self, even though intellectually I can say there is no self.
At moment of seeing, there can be clinging to visual object, not clinging to sound, right?
Yes.
At the moment of clinging to visible object, there is no clinging to sound, right?
Yes.
So when wrong view or clinging to the idea of
self
does not arise, can there be the moment of clinging to it?
Not in that moment.
So it doesn't mean that there is always clinging to the idea of self.
It doesn't mean there is always. Oh, okay.
But it doesn't mean that clinging to self arises each moment.
It doesn't mean that clinging to self...
Excuse me. Can I bring back your statement that you have stated about a week ago, that you have mentioned that Nibbana, citta can have Nibbana as aramana. Oh. But still, it's not the makkha. It's not the moment that wisdom realizes or eradicate the self. But there is a moment that Nibbana can be aramana for the citta. But still, that person hasn't attained the arahatship or something like that.
What can experience Nibbana?
Citta. And wisdom. Pardon?
Any kind of citta?
A special kind of citta.
What kind?
Lokuttara citta.
It experiences Nibbana, so it eradicates kilesa stage by stage.
By
experiencing Nibbana.
I see. And when the Aryabhukara has attained a certain level of wisdom, and if he or she can do the meditation, can she have the Nibbana?
Then we come to a point what meditation is.
Maybe I used the wrong vocabulary, but I was...
Wrong practice.
Wrong view.
But I thought I have heard you mention that Nibbana
is not citta, but it's the object of Lokuttara citta.
Right. And can it also be an object of another citta, just like Pala Samabhat? Yes. Is that...
About this, if it is the object of, for example, the palasamapati of the anagami or arahat or vinyaviti or some of these other jitas, can we still say it's the direct experience of Nibbana? Or is it like recollection or but direct experience?
So because it's Lokuttara citta, that level of panya.
So the palasamapati, we still call it Lokuttara?
Yeah, palacitta must always be Lokuttara.
Right.
Eight Lokuttaras.
And there's a Manovara Vajana that experiences Nibbana. So any cittas that experience Nibbana must be Lokuttara and Abhinya.
There are eight Lokuttara cittas.
Yes. But the palasamapati that may arise
that
later.
That is Lokuttara citta too.
Right.
So it's pala.
So it's like a repeated palas. Okay. Pala citta, it experiences Nibbana and also knows which defilements have been eradicated. Is this another moment? Or
it's not by pala citta, but by the kama vajra citta, which reflects
on it. And is these kama vajra citta that reflect on it, is this because the defilements have been eradicated? So is it concept
the
as object then?
Mahakusala with panya.
Right. So reflecting on concepts because they've already fallen away or?
It depends on whether you call it concept or not because it's not the word. But it's exactly the same that one has experienced before.
Right. Okay, but because they've fallen away then, but it's like a kind of direct mirror image or replica or something.
For those who are not arahata, must be mahakusala with panya. But for an arahata, it must be mahakriya with panya.
Right.
That I forgot. Pachavekan. the vichitita, that mahakusala citta, reflects on what kilesa has been completely eradicated. That's a different viti as a makka viti. It's a panchavekana viti. Different.
What does this word panchavekana?
Panchavekana, it's been clearer. I mean, pitter, it's been, considering reflections. After the makka viti, in the makka viti, there's citta that explains nibbana, and then palati that fallen away completely, finished the process, and then, different process, citta arise.
A manodwara vajana citta that has nibbana as object in the process. That's also lokutra, right? Gotrabhu, yeah. The gotrabhu citta that has nibbana as object, this is also, it's not lokutra, but still nibbana is direct object.
Normally, chavana citta, those seven moments, they have the same aramana, right? Arom, right? And I was wondering about the moment when the layman gonna be with the arahat, araya, right? So seems to me that the function of the chavana citta, of each citta, is different, right? Thank you.
Pre-craving or Purima Tanha. Purima Tanha, and I really don't know anything about it, and I mentioned it and others don't either. So maybe you could introduce it, and then I'd like to hear anything more Kunsuchin has to say about it. So maybe you can just introduce it to us first.
My memory is fuzzy, Sarah, so that's a long while ago, right? Yeah. I think what Kunina was asking is about, she sort of talks about, the cause and effect, and like there seems to be a teaching about pre-craving, and then like pre-craving as a cause to for sati. Yeah, and so like when we were talking about it, we were wondering how this could be.
Everything can condition anything, like kusla can condition akusla can condition kusla, vipaka can condition kusla, goes on like this by pakatu panisya pachya. Because we really don't know the details of each moment, how the accumulation eons and eons ago, all which have been carried on to this moment, condition such single moment and falls away instantly. It's beyond our understanding. But as far as we know that there are 24 pachya, and the largest one is pakatupanisya pachya. Anything.
Okay. Previous kusala right, can condition right. Future sati also.
So do we use the word pre-craving? Is this referring to apurma tanha? Tanha from previous lives maybe is a condition for kusala now? Is this the meaning?
For some people, they'd like to give dana in order to be born in heaven. See? This is one of the example. But not just this. How can such moment arise? It's not only this life conditions or the just last life conditions, eons and eons ago can be conditions for the arising of a single moment of citta.
So it always refers to across lifetimes when this...
Each moment.
When we talk about citta and citta seekers arising, passing away, in that moment of arising, can we say there's conditions arising too?
At this moment, there is visible object and there is citta. If visible object does not arise, can it be a condition for seeing consciousness?
No.
Jitasikas. If citta does not arise, can jitasika arise?
So there's the conditions are always working.